You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
As we kind of continue our series called The Way of Wisdom, and if you've been with us over the last number of weeks, that's what we've been talking about. And we're taking a look at, in this series, two of the wisdom books in the Bible, the book of Job, and then we're going to be moving into the book of Psalm here in a few weeks. But many have been reading the book of Job, and we've been discovering what it means to walk in God's wisdom ways. That is to follow hard after God through all of life. And I found myself this morning, after our prayer time as a staff, we had gathered together, getting really excited for our time together today. And here's the reason why. Because I know, and I just believe, that God's Spirit is going to go forth, and He's going to help many of us in our confidence in God to grow from here. For some of us, it's going to be a giant leap up to here. That's what we're talking about today. For some of us, it may not be up to here. For some of us, it may be just right here. But I just believe that our confidence in God and facing what we may be facing today or will be facing tomorrow is just going to grow as we discover more and more about who He is. So we've been in this Way of Wisdom series. And if you have your Bible today, your Bible app, and go to the book of Job, and you might want to kind of go near the end because we're going to focus on chapters 30, 40, and 42. I won't be reading all of those chapters, but just kind of highlighting a few portions of those, so you might want to get ready. And then Matthew chapter 8 will be there in just a few moments. But here's what we've been talking about. Here's what we've been learning about walking in God's wisdom ways. I trust God completely. Here it is. Not because He always does what I want, but because He always does what is right. Would you just think about that for just a moment? I trust God completely, not because He always does what I want, but because He always does what is right. You know, a lot of us should be really, really thankful, shouldn't we, that He doesn't do everything that we want. You can go, That's true. Because sometimes our wants and our desires are out of sync with God's plan for our lives and God's will for our lives. So we should be really, really happy about that. Another way that I've said it from the week that we launched this series, or the second week, is that we walk in God's wisdom ways. We may not always hear what we want to hear, but we'll always hear what we need to hear. It may not be what we want to hear as we study God's Word, as we listen for His voice speaking into our lives, but it will be what we need to hear. A couple weeks ago, we spoke about godly wisdom and how God uses you and me and others to speak into our lives, and He uses us to speak into others' lives, that in those moments when God is speaking through others, it may not be what we want to hear, but it will be what we need to hear as we walk in His wisdom ways. Now, even when life changes, and it can change quickly. I don't know about you, but I really like life. Well, here's a picture of how I really like it. You too? Let me be honest now. That's the life we want, right? Everything's calm, the seas are smooth, and we got the sailboat out there, and you know, everything is just perfect. But how many of us know that's not a picture of real life, is it? Because sometimes it looks like this. I mean, the seas are just raging. And that's what it feels like. And you know, truth is, some of us are over here on the left, and some of us today are over here on the right. And if we're on the left, I got good news for you, or I have news for you. The right side's coming into your life too. And that may look like this. That may be coming into your life, or maybe that God's going to use you to speak into someone's life who's over there on the right side. The seas are really, really raging. I mean, that left side kind of feels like and looks like everything's going well, man. Everything's in control. This is just the way I like it. And then we find ourselves in the storm, on the raging side of life, when things come into our life and all of a sudden things feel out of control and we're not sure exactly what's going on. Well, that's what we're talking about, and that's what the book of Job really brings us to in all of those questions. I was about, I think, 10 years old, somewhere around there, 9, 10 years old, and my oldest sister was married, and they had a little power boat. And so my brother-in-law had to move the trailer, and my sister was driving this little power boat, And I just remember, you know, it's one of those memories that gets etched into your brain like forever. And I remember being in that boat, myself and a few others, and my sister is driving, or whatever they call driving a boat, you know, piloting a boat or steering it. And I figured that's bad news to begin with right there. But here's the deal. We got out into the water, and it got rough. And I remember as a 9 or 10-year-old sitting in the back of the boat, and there was only one thought that was in my mind. You know what it was? I'm going to die. I'm telling you, this boat, this ship is going down because my sister is driving it. You know, it just seemed all clear to me. And I remember sending a message up, would you please like slow down or do something? Because like, that's the sea we were in right there. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 8, because that's the picture as well of the disciples. That's exactly where they were. And they had some of those same feelings. Matthew chapter 8. And slide down to verse number 23 where it says, Jesus calms the storm. If you have your Bible app or you have your tablet or you're running YouVersion Live, it's there this morning. But here's what happens. Here's the setting. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with the disciples. Now, before we move on, I love that. Because do you think Jesus knew what was about to happen? Sure he did. Sure he did. But he gets into the boat with the disciples. And suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Interesting. I've done some work on that word suddenly. And that Greek word. And I've gone back and this past week and just searched. What does that word really mean? You know what that word suddenly really, truly, honestly means? Suddenly. It's like it happened like right now. See, suddenly, everything changes. Man, it goes from that calm sea to that really, really raging sea. It was interesting. I had someone come up to me after the 8 o'clock gathering. They said, you know, we've been in Israel and have been at the Sea of Galilee and have been there and experienced that very thing. I mean, we were standing on the shore side and it was perfectly calm. And within 30 minutes, man, it just completely changed because that's the way it was. Life on the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with the waves breaking into the boat. Jesus was sleeping and the disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. It's interesting to me that it just seems to be a part of our human nature that when life kind of gets that way and starts raging, how quickly we as humans go to the extreme. And the disciples did too. What they said this, look, they didn't say, Jesus, things are a little rough here. It's a little unsafe. They said, no, we're going to drown, just like a 9 or 10-year-old kid did in that boat with me. Our life is over, depending on what version of the Bible you have this morning. The ESV says, we're perishing. If you have King James, just very simple, we perish. I mean, like, life is over, the seas are raging, life is over. But then something happens. Jesus illustrates, again, his control over all. And we know that he gets up out of the boat and he says, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was great calm. And Jesus demonstrated again his authority even over all of nature. So what's it look like then, as we talk about this, a walk in the way of wisdom, what's it look like when the sea, the waters begin to change in our life? What's it look like for the Jesus follower as we walk through the storm? What is it we need to understand, and what does a way of wisdom look like? That's what we're talking about today. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 has been a passage that we've used over and over and over because there's this tension when life kind of takes this turn. Proverbs 16, 25, there is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it ends in death. In the end, it ends in death. I mean, during these moments, there's a path that seems right to you, and there's a path humanly that seems right to me, but the wisdom of the Proverbs says it leads to death. I mean, humanly, it feels right. Humanly, it looks right, according to our finite minds. Google says it's right. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Our human reasoning says this is right, but in the end, it leads to death. Jen was raised in a community, a little small fishing community, and we were married at this time. And we had some large fishing boats that were part of the community, and I still remember the night when that fleet went fishing, and the next day the word came back that a large rogue wave had struck two of those boats, had turned them over at night during their sleeping hours, and nearly 30 people perished. Those families were young families, some who had just been married, some with children. But here's what they discovered, that largely what had happened was attributed to humans and to human error. You see, which path in life do we choose? We're talking about walking in God's wisdom ways. There's a way that seems right, but as a Jesus follower, we don't want to walk in a way that seems right according to our reasoning, according to our human nature. We want to walk in the way of wisdom and trust God, who knows about today and he knows about tomorrow. And by the way, he knows what's around the corner for you and for me today. When we talked about faith, we talked about what the way of wisdom looks like. When we take that first step, we take that first step of faith, not always seeing and not mostly ever seeing the top of the staircase, but that's what following his wisdom ways looks like. So let's just do a 15-second review. Walking in the way of wisdom, first of all, begins with God, doesn't begin with Google. We talked about that. That you can Google your way, find out about planting your garden, fixing your car, doing all those things. But listen, it's a different deal when you Google about life. Begins with God. It doesn't begin with Google, walking in the way of wisdom. Secondly, it begins by faith. Way of wisdom is paid by faith. We just talked about that just a moment ago. Thirdly, the way of wisdom is paid by godly counsel. That is his word, people that Jesus brings into our life. So we talked about what it's like to receive godly counsel, and we talked about life's colander, and we talked about does it line up with scripture and so on. And we also talked about that Jesus wants to use you, other followers, to speak wisdom and godly counsel into someone else's life. And then we talked last week about the way of wisdom is paid by preparation, waiting, and listening. And I just invite you to circle one of those words, and maybe you even do that again today. That is, we talk about walking in his way of wisdom. What's difficult for you? Is it the preparation part, spending time in his word and before the Lord? Is it waiting, or is it listening? This past weekend, Dave Fisher and I were at a conference, and there were a couple blocks of time when we were called to just kind of wait before the Lord. Now, I told you last week, if you were here, the word I circle is waiting, because that's the most difficult thing for me. I was raised by a mother who believed it should have been done yesterday, and that's part of my DNA, and I blame it on her, and that's my story. So anyway, that's part of me. So when they said, okay, we want you to go to wait before the Lord, guess what? Yesterday, I had to go, okay, I'm waiting before the Lord. So we struggle, but that's part of walking in God's wisdom ways, waiting and listening. Here's our big idea for today. Here's what I want you to take, and this is where I think our confidence is going to grow as we talk about it. The big idea is paved, the way of wisdom is paved by confidence in God. And I'm praying that for many of us, our confidence level is going to go from here to here. Because some of you are in the raging seas today. Some are. Some of you will be there tomorrow. I just invited you to define that area of suffering or crises that we're going to talk about in just a moment. It's different for all of us. For some of us, it's physical. For some of us, it's relational. For some of us, it's a decision that we're grappling with, and we're seeking to God, walk in God's way of wisdom. The way of wisdom is paved by confidence in God. Here's what we know as we take a peek again into the book of Job in just a few moments, that Job was not surprised, or God was not surprised at all. God wasn't surprised by what was taking place. What caught Job by surprise, this sudden storm, didn't catch God by surprise at all. What caught the disciples by surprise, by the way, on the Sea of Galilee, when suddenly the storm came up, guess what? Didn't catch Jesus by surprise. He is sound asleep. He knew what was going to happen. And maybe that's a big revelation for you today. Or maybe it's just a simple reminder. Here's what we're talking about when we talk about the storm, when the seas rage. Number one, the perfect storm of suffering or crises, whatever that is in your life today or what it may be tomorrow, may seek to overwhelm you. We need to insert that word seek. May seek to overwhelm you. That's maybe where you are today. Secondly, this perfect storm of suffering might seek to drive you away from God. And I want to talk to you about what happens when we're there. I had someone come up to me after the 9:30 service and said, you know, I was right there in that spot. And when you shared those 3 points, that was my life. And when you got to that point about a storm might seek to drive you away from God, suddenly in the storm that I was facing, I was asking, God, where are you? And it's an opportunity for the enemy to come in. We'll talk about that. Thirdly, God is most clearly revealed in our most challenging times. Well, let's take a look at Job's storm when the waters kind of got a little rough for him. In Job chapter 30, verses 15 to 22, we'll take a look at that. It's coming up on the screen. If you have launched YouVersion Live on your tablet, your smartphone, it's there as well. Or turn to it in your Bible. And let's begin in verse number 15. Here it is. I live in terror now. Now there's your storm. My honor has blown away in the wind, and my prosperity has vanished like a cloud. Insert your storm. My 401k is gone. My retirement is gone. My house is gone. My property is gone. My prosperity is gone. Job is describing his storm. He says, and now my life seeps away. Depression haunts my days. At night, my bones are filled with pain, which gnaws at me relentlessly. Maybe your storm is a physical one today. With a strong hand, God grabs my shirt. He grips me by the collar of my coat. He has thrown me into the mud. I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You have become cruel toward me. You use your power to persecute me. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. That's how Job described his life. Fact is, if you're here and you've known disease, that's the storm. If you've ever known it's heart-piercing grief, then you know the sensation or loss of any kind. You've been betrayed or maybe forsaken or cheated in some way. Or you've been hurt in some way. That's your storm. You know the horror, perhaps, of what Job is talking about here. On the one hand, we hold the truth that we all know that God is our creator. God is in heaven, and he created this world. All that we live in and enjoy, and he created you and he created me, and we hold that truth here, don't we? In this other hand, we hold the truth that the same God who created you and me and all of the earth, all that we enjoy, the same God has allowed this to come into our life. And here's what we need to do. We need to pull those two truths together and hang on to them together. On the one hand, we know God of the universe. On the other hand, God's allowed this into our lives, and we need to pull these truths together and hang onto them tightly. Isaiah 43 is a word for you and for me. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you, and we kind of hold those two truths tightly together. When you go through the rivers of difficulty or the storm, we hold those two truths together because we will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, listen now, we hold those two truths together that the Creator knows exactly where we are today. He's allowed those things to come in to our life. We may not understand it, but we know it. And we hold those truths. He said, when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Here's our big idea again. The way of wisdom is paved by this confidence in God. Even when a perfect storm of suffering may seek to overwhelm you. Even when. See, Job's perfect storm or these raging seas overwhelmed him. And in this amazing brief period of time, he'd been attacked and his financial portfolio was completely wiped out. His children had been killed. And then he has friends. Right, quote unquote, friends who come along and say, Job, this is your fault. And on top of all that, this is your fault. And so they say this, confess your sin, Job. Perhaps God will relinquish his shock and awe attack against you. We know God to be fair and just and right. Come on, come on, Job. What did you do to deserve this on top of all that? He's got his quote-unquote friends. For us, it's a job lost. Or bills that are missed. And the debts kind of pile up. And the car and the refrigerator and the lawnmower and on just stops working. And we go to the bank account and there's nothing there. And all of a sudden the waters start to get really, really turbulent. See, Jesus' followers are not immune to these things, are we? Wouldn't you love it? Is as a Jesus follower, when we place our trust and faith in him, that all that stuff would go away? Would you love that? Please say no. Here's why. Here's why I say no, no, God, don't, no. It's because I know human nature. We would follow Jesus just so we didn't have those things come in our life. And not out of deep love for him. That's what would happen. Jesus followers are not immune to such pressures. We are called to place our trust and our faith in him. We can read Bible character after Bible character who was faced with these type of things. Paul was so low during one of his letter writing sessions that he told Timothy that one man had deserted him. Only Luke was with him. But listen to his list. He'd been beaten, chased, arrested, scourged, caned, imprisoned, denied justice, and eventually shipwrecked. I mean, is that your life? Though Paul had this tremendous attitude and faith, he knew real pain, and that kind of pain can begin to seek to overwhelm you. And when the seas get really rough and some of us find ourselves there, I pray, God, your confidence in God, because Jesus is in the boat, your confidence in God will go from here to here. Secondly, a perfect storm may seek to drive you away from God. And I want to add this, instead of to him. These things that come into our life, the enemy uses as the opportune time to come to you and say, look, a God who loves you would not allow that into your life. And that's the enemy. Job 1, God calls him the accuser, and the accuser comes into our life. A perfect storm may seek to drive you away from God, not to him. God says, have you considered my servant Job? To the accuser, to Satan. There's no one on earth like him, Job 1:8. He is blameless and upright and a man who fears God and shuns evil. But after the storm, Job had some questions, didn't he, about God? He had some serious questions. The combination of pain and heartache and unending agony began to shatter his impression of the God he had always known. Make no mistake about it, pain is an incredible, powerful teaching tool. Great change takes place when people connect with that pain, even when the pain is in the life of someone else. But it causes questions, and those questions can seek to drive us away from God. If you go to the temptation of Jesus, here's what happened. Here's the word that you see, that the enemy, Satan, left Jesus until, you know what the word is? An opportune time. An opportune time. See, he knows what the opportune time is in your life. He knows what that time is. There's nothing wrong with questions. We've talked about that. Nothing wrong with questions, but do we take our questions to God? The enemy knows the opportune time in your life and my time when he will come in and seek to pull you away from God. And I love Proverbs 18:10 that just says, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous do what? They run to it. They don't run away from it. So in our storm, in our perfect storm, if that's where you are today, or in these challenging times, we find ourselves running to him, not away from him, guaranteed that the accuser will come in and try to pull you away. But as we walk in the way of wisdom, we seek him. We don't turn away from him. Let's proclaim our confidence in God, not our demand to understand. And there's a difference. Hang on to that for just a moment. When we're walking through these times in our life, let's proclaim our confidence in God and the outcome that we're going to see in just a moment, not our demand to understand there are things we give over to him. Thirdly, God is most clearly seen in our most challenging times. You see, folks, this is good news. This is good news. God is most clearly seen in our most challenging times. And sometimes we're in this classroom of suffering and crises, and whatever suffering looks like for you or whatever crises looks like for you. But it's only in this classroom of suffering and crises and challenge in the very worst of times that we begin to learn of God and know God in the deepest way. That's what happened with Job. Now, remember Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 10, when God is having this conversation with him, with Job, and he says this: do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You're God's critic, but do you have the answers? Then Job replied to the Lord, he says, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I love that. I have nothing more to say. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Will you discredit my justice and condemn me just to prove you're right? Are you as strong as God? Can you thunder with a voice like this? All right, put on your glory and splendor, your honor and your majesty. And then once proper order was restored, Job was finally ready to address God correctly. And here's where you're going to see our big idea. The way of confidence is, the way of wisdom is paved with confidence in God. Just listen to it now out of Job chapter 42, beginning with verse number 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. That's confidence in God. I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. Are you in that spot right now where that's what you'll declare? God, I know that you can do anything. No one can stop you. I have confidence in you. He goes on, you ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. Kind of our demand sometimes for understanding. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I only heard about you, but now in this classroom of suffering and crises, now I know you in a different way. And then he says, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. I take back everything I said. You've had your kids say that if you're a mom or dad. I've said that. I take that back. I didn't mean that. That was Job. Because he came to know God in the deepest way he'd ever known him before in this time of challenge. Let me ask you some questions as we wrap up this morning. Do you trust his timing? Do you trust his timing in your life? Is your confidence in him going to go from here to here? Do you trust the way that he's leading you? Where's your confidence level? Like for you to join with me, let's stand. Can we do that on the screen this morning? Where have you lost confidence today? Maybe you have found yourself turning away from God instead to him. Where have you lost confidence? And where can you renew your confidence in God? Where can you renew your confidence in God in that relationship? In your physical being, in your job, in your business, wherever it is, in your home, where is it that you can renew your confidence in God? And what you're going to say today when I pray is, God, I know you can do anything. No one can stop you. It doesn't make any difference what the waters look like for you. They may be smooth today, they'll be rough tomorrow. They may be rough today, they'll be smooth tomorrow. But God, in all of life, my confidence is in you. Amen. So Father, that's what we lift up to you today. Trust and faith and confidence in you. And right now, wherever you are, I'm just praying, Jesus, help our confidence to be renewed. Maybe you're one of those we've demanded to understand, but today we're declaring our confidence in God. And today, maybe some of us have found ourselves turning away from him instead of to him, but today we're renewing our confidence in God. in that circumstance, that situation. For some of us, the seas may be really calm today. And Jesus wants to use you to speak into someone else's life where it is raging. Or maybe it's calm today, raging tomorrow. In all of life, God, may our confidence be in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, shall we? Thank you, Father. Amen. No matter how the oceans rage, we have confidence in Him. Amen.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.